Hey everybody, welcome to Sound Bombing. I created this show for people who want to experience a radical, life-changing journey through the sounds of my diverse guests. I hope that each sound you hear on this show will strengthen your faith, encourage your dreams, and challenge you to awaken the greatness within you.
Drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We're gonna drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We're gonna drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We come to drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new values, and a new experience.
Lamar Darnell Shields.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good day to you, wherever you are tuning in. I just want to just take a moment and just to say that I am so grateful and honored that you decided to hang out with me, your friend, your guy, Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields. As always, I am humbled that you spend some time with me. There's some people who don't want to spend time with me, but you decided that something attracted you to the station, that you got me on Zoom, that you got me on Stitcher, that you got me on Google Play. However you arrived here, that does not matter. Your journey is with 1,000 steps, and you ended up on my doorstep. So I'm thankful and honored that you just, as they say, counted all joy to hang out with me today. And so as always, I have an amazing guest, but thank you for tuning in last week. We had a great time. And because, not because of me, it's because I bring on some amazing people. And I'm hoping that you took notes. And I want to give you a minute right now, grab a pen and a pad, something to write with, because today is going to be like any other day, that I'm going to wow you. Well, not me. The person I'm going to bring on is going to wow you. I don't do anything special, but press a couple of buttons and listen to what my engineer and my producers tell me, because they're a little smarter than me. I guess people just like the voice, and maybe they like the way I dress sometimes, but I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, we are here today. And if you're new to Sound Bombing, hey, welcome to the community. If you're an old head, if you're an OG, if you're an old bomber, and bomber is about healing, you know what time it is. It is time for our three breaths. And we do our breaths to set the foundation for our work today, because I don't know what type of energy that you might be bringing into my technology. You don't know what type of energy that I could be bringing to your technology. And so what we do is we bring in a breath. So find yourself in a comfortable position. Whatever comfortable position that you feel, but not sleeping, okay? So maybe put your feet on the floor, your palms facing up. As my third graders used to say to me, Mr. Shields, sit up, sit back, roll your shoulders back and relax. And we're gonna go inhale. And then we're gonna exhale. We're gonna inhale through our nostrils. We're gonna exhale through our mouths. One more, inhale. Pause 3 seconds and exhale. Thank you, Sound Bombers. What do we call that? We call that the breath of life. These days, we are learning more and more about the adverse effects of child trauma or trauma on many aspects of our mental and physical health and our well-being. Science seems to be linking early trauma to everything from back pain to depression. In an interview with Oprah Winfrey, yes, the great Oprah Winfrey, she was on 60 Minutes, psychiatrist and neurologist Bruce Perry talked about the effects of childhood trauma and on the effects on adults and also on young people. And Perry said, if you have developmental trauma, the truth is you're going to be at risk for almost any kind of physical health, mental health, social health problem that you can think of. And if you know anything about me and the work that I do, we study the ACEs, and we'll probably talk about the ACEs because it has a lot to do with what happened to us in our childhood and how it affects us as we get older. Well, what I know is unresolved trauma can haunt us throughout our lives in many ways that often don't seem direct. As adults, we may attempt to forget or gloss over the past, or we may think my childhood wasn't that bad, or many people had it worse than I did. We don't realize that these old wounds can have all kinds of physical and psychological effects. When we don't deal with our trauma, we carry it with us. Yes, we do. As my friend Erykah Badu in her song, she said, bag lady, we carry our stuff in our baggage. And we haven't made sense of our story, and therefore our past is still impacting our present in countless invisible ways. It influences how we parent, how we relate to our partner, how we feel, think, and operate in the world. Well, our next guest, Maureen Pelton, will tell us how to deal with unresolved trauma and why embodiment and heartfulness is useful to this process. Maybe some new words to you all that we're going to be introduced to some. Some folks are familiar with this. She will talk to us about what it means to feel the range of our body experiences fully and to stay in touch with its vibrancy and meaning. And as an expert on heartfulness, Maureen defines it as transcending human conditioning to move beyond material limitations, cultivating the deepest experience of love through connection to source. Who am I talking about? Well, I just said her name, but let me just talk about a little more. Maureen Pelton is a co-founder of Shift It Institute and a pioneer in the field of embodiment, aligning our true nature, attuning our highest potential, and holding space for divinity. I love that. She has a Master of Science in Social Work. Her 35 years of professional experience includes interrogative psychotherapy, transformational coaching, consulting to over 150 organizations, training healthcare professionals, facilitating workshops, and leading spiritual retreats. She was the host of the Learning Well Talk radio show and taught courses at the Interrogative Health Education Center at Normandale Community College. Maureen has created curricula and taught at the University of Minnesota through the Center of Spirituality and Healing. Maureen continues to expand her consciousness by integrating a variety of modalities, which include quantum neurological reset therapy, eye movement, desensitization of reprocessing acceptance and commitment therapy, the emotional freedom technique, touch for health, energy medicine, navigating the soul's journey, igniting the creative spirit, professional training with the Center for Mind, Body, Medicine, Heart Math, and nonviolent communication, homeopathy, yoga, meditation. She has been mentored, and she has mentored tons of people all over the country, but you may be familiar with her because her husband joined me in the bomb shelter. And we talked so much about her that he said, you need to bring her on the show. So Maureen, welcome to Sound Bombing. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lamar. That was such a great introduction. You made me sound so fabulous.
You are fabulous because every time I said something to your great husband, yes, he said, that sounds like my wife. That sounds like my wife. My wife would say that. You know, she would do that better than I would. And so it felt so good to hear a man elevate his wife in such a pristine, professional, beautiful, and poetic way. And it made sense to bring you on because he kept saying, my wife is so much smarter than me. Now, if you're smarter than anything this guy said, you must be the bomb diggity. So welcome to the show. Thank you for taking some time. I love the frame. You are so fly. I just love the whole look. And so thank you for joining me. So how are you doing? We got COVID-19, we got politics, we got health scares. How are you doing?
Thank you for asking, and thank you for having me on your show. I'm doing well. You know, that's an interesting question, because in the big picture, I'm doing really well. I'm blessed and grateful. But on a day-to-day basis, it's a lot. Everything, it's a lot. And, you know, I live in that paradox of both and. So it is an opportunity. It is an invitation during this time to make changes. There's just a lot going on, and living in uncertainty is a lot. Not necessarily for me, it's something I practice. It has a lot to do with surrender, which I learned through my mystical experience when I was 21, but it's a lot for people. And so I've been really busy. And I also just want to say that about my husband, because this is really important, I think, for women to hear. He is authentically, genuinely, how do I say this, grateful to have me in his life. And he does express that. And early on when he did that, it made me very uncomfortable because of my own stuff around that, that had been conditioned into me. And so over time, I really had to work with that and look at that and get more comfortable and allow a man to speak so highly of not only his wife and his business partner, but me. Yes. So I've come to get more comfortable with it, but yes, I know he is.
Now, I didn't mention your husband's name, so let them know who your amazing husband is.
Oh, my amazing husband is Charlie Hartwell, who is leading this field of meditation and mindfulness applications as an investor and bringing them to the masses.
Yeah, it was so much fun talking to Charlie, and I had a great time. He kept saying, Lamar, you're asking such great questions. I wonder how my wife responded. I wonder how she responded. So I don't recycle the questions here. So I'm going to ask different questions, but I do want to start with questions because I am in very familiar space that you're in, very similar space rather. So we sort of tread into sort of the same waters. You might go a little deeper than I do. A lot of my work is around issues around, I'm working with school professionals, educators, teachers, parents, and nonprofit and for-profit workers. But lately we've been talking about the power of questions. And I think when I brought Charlie on, I started with a quote from Albert Einstein just about questions, but I want to go in a different direction with you because, you know, I want to ask you the question, how important are questions right now? Because I started with you by asking you, how was your day? Right. And so what a friend of mine from, he's from West Africa. All right. I want to say he's from Ghana, but he lived in Austria and he is a breath teacher. He comes to Johns Hopkins every year, has the coolest job, Maureen. He works with these musicians who play these woodwind instruments, so teaching them how to breathe. And so he said to me, why do Americans always ask people, how are you doing? And they don't really want to know the answer. And it's almost like Miley Cyrus's father said this. He said, in the South, we call it chicken talk. It's just, it's like, how's the weather? You don't really care. But what I'm learning, Maureen, and I want to unpack this before we dive into your work. One is, how important are questions? And then what I'm doing now is asking different questions. Instead of just saying, how was your day? I'm like, so how did you sleep? Right. What are some of your thought patterns today? How do you feel about what's going on? How is your breath? And I think that those questions go a little deeper than the surface of how are you doing today? And you went a little deeper, but how important are questions? And what are some questions that we should possibly be asking people right now? And maybe some questions that we should be asking ourselves.
So thank you for asking that, because I actually talk about living in the question. Like, I really come from a place of living in the question without having the answer. So it's really important for me and to go throughout my life with curiosity, curious inquiry, wonder. And so you're always in the question. And if you stay in the question and it's a genuine curiosity, the answer is revealed. So the questions are significant to me. And so much of my work is about asking the questions to help people go deeper and deeper and deeper, because I don't have the answers. And deep within them, which is my embodiment work, is often the answer. So I think that asking questions is essential. And one of the important questions that I advocate, and this comes out of nonviolent communication, is what do I need and what do you need? Mm-hmm. Like, this is so significant right now, everywhere, all the time. What do you need? Because we can't assume to know what other people need. Often we project our needs onto them. And we want to be asked what we need. We don't want people to think they're, you know, make an assumption and think they're knowing what we need and trying to help us when it's not what we need. So if I could get humans to just ask that one question to themselves regularly and to others, that would be huge. Because we don't do that.
I like how you said humans. It's interesting. I went for a run today and my neighbor had a banner about the 2020 election. And she says, I'm voting for any sane human that makes good decisions. And so you can say, if I can get humans to ask those, and I appreciate that. I just had to think about that because as soon as you said it, I thought about me running past my neighbor's house and I saw that sign that sort of resonates with me. And I'm glad you said it because questions are important. You know, speaking of that, what are some questions that you're asking yourself currently with the state of what's happening around racial injustice, what's happening around violence, what's happening around with this COVID pandemic, what's happening with health disparities, what's happening with the state of education? I mean, I can go on and on and on. What are some questions have you started to ask yourself? Because again, we're looking for people like you, all of these spiritual teachers and leaders, and we're looking for you all. And I know we should really be looking at ourselves, but I know my listeners will want to know, well, what is Maureen asking herself? So you ask the questions that we should be asking one another. What are some things you're asking yourself presently?
Well, you know, when COVID started, the first question I asked was, how can I be of service? Because I'm really concerned about the healthcare providers. I'm really concerned about capacity and what it's doing to healthcare providers. And I've worked a lot with healthcare providers. So my first question is, how can I best be of service? So, because I'm not on the front line. So how can I best be of service? And that was one of the questions. And then in terms of racial injustice, I've been working for some time and serve on boards that specifically are dealing with social justice. And the one board, Ultraviolet, we specifically are a rapid response national organization around women's rights, but really focused on women of color rights. So this is something I've been talking about for some time, and I'm from Minneapolis. So white privilege, injustice, and always spouting off about it because I use my voice. And what's happened, interestingly enough, is since George Floyd was murdered, all of these people in my life, personally and professionally, who obviously have been listening, are asking me, what can I do? What can I, because they know I've been speaking about it for so long. So what's been interesting is I'm getting all these questions from white people, privileged white people, what can I do? And I don't have the answer, right? I don't. I'm a privileged white person. I know what I'm doing. And so referring them to Black Lives Matter and to books and to authors and to Ultraviolet and to the organizations that are trying to educate people. I mean, that's the thing we can do more than anything is educate ourselves. And that's part of what happened with me in my process because I started yoga and meditation 35 years ago. And when you are really practicing and growing and moving beyond your conditioning and staying with that, you eventually get to this point, which is what happened to me about 15 years ago, where I was like, I have to use my voice. I have to stand up. I have to speak. Because I have it, but also because I'm privileged. And that's when I really started getting involved much more in social justice and advocacy. So looking around and asking myself, what can I do? How can I participate? What difference can I make? And I don't have the answer for people. But what I am saying to most people who are asking me is you've got to educate yourself and you've got to start asking yourself what you can do.
So it's interesting you said that. I got to go back to my neighbors. I'm running down the block again and I see a sign. Signs, they're just all over the place. And one of my neighbors says, white silence is a form of violence. And so it's interesting. I see one about the presidential election and then I see another one that says white silence is violence. And I'm so glad that you said, first of all, we both are from the Midwest. Shout out to the Midwest. I'm from Chicago, Minneapolis. And how ironic, and I don't believe in a coincidence that the Floyd situation took place in a place that you lived in. And I love where you took ownership and said, as a white woman, I have a level of privilege. We all have these privileges. As a male, I have privileges. As a male of color, as a male who has a college degree. So we all have these privileges. But what I love that you said is that I don't have all the answers. And I think a lot of times we expect, even as parents, our children come to us because we have this parenting degree that I think most of us probably flunked out of that class, to be really honest. Like most of us probably would have been kicked out if we were being graded and even graded on the curve, Maureen, because we struggle with certain things. But the reality is the fact that you just said, I don't have all the answers. And I think that that's probably the best way to respond. One of the things that I've been teaching young people and I've been teaching teachers in this space is it's the power of three letters. YET, the power of yet. And it's like, I don't know that yet. I don't have the answer yet. And so, Maureen, what that says is that that says that I'm working toward something. And to hear you say, I don't know that, but people are coming to me. And it's the beautiful part is you've been doing this work for years, and all of a sudden, now people think that you are like the guru, or that you know, like for example, I'm in a health space. And so I've been a vegan since 93. My hashtag is meat free since 93. And it's interesting where unhealthy people, they talk bad about how I'm eating and all that. But when the flu season comes around, Maureen, and it's cold, they're like, hey, now what was that herb that you were taking for, and what was that pill? And you said how many, but I don't food shame them. I don't do those things. But I do in the back of my mind, I'm like giggling just a little bit when it comes to that. So we have so much, there's so many things I wanna ask you, but before we get into the work around trauma, I want to talk about a word that sort of kept popping up in your work, and it's the word quantum. And I want to talk about quantum physics. Can you explain the concept of what quantum physics is to our listeners? And then I want to come back and talk, what is the role of the observer in quantum physics as well?
Well, I don't want to disappoint you, but I can't really explain quantum physics. I don't feel qualified to do that.
Because you talk about quantum neurological reset therapy, which is sort of right. in that. So let's talk about that
about
concept.
That. So this kind of is beyond. So there's the quantum physics and quantum mechanics and all of that, which I know a little bit about, but I wouldn't want to speak to. What I really know more about is quantum in terms of the experience.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So not all the mechanics and logistics, but the experience. So I had a spontaneous mystical experience when I was 21. And I've had many since, but it changed everything for me. And it made me know that I'm an energetic being in physical form, having a human experience. And that is quantum to me, because we are all connected. And although we have physical form, we are so much more than our physical form, although our physical form is very important. So with quantum neural reset therapy, and the reason that I love it so much is because it is a specific protocol and a reset to our nervous system, our hypothalamus system, our adrenal system, our emotional pathways. It's spontaneous, and it is the most efficient, effective way I've seen to transcend adverse childhood experiences, trauma, health-related issues. It takes about 20 to 40 minutes. You do a reset. It's magical. It's quantum because it changes everything. And just to give you an example, I was working on a woman who was very, had a really difficult childhood, had a lot of health issues. We did a reset around some abandonment and resentment and something that happened when she was 5 with her mother. And the minute the reset was done, her phone rang. I had no idea. Her phone rang. She started to cry. Long story short, it was her teenage daughter who she'd been estranged from for a year because of this abandonment thing. And the daughter immediately called her and wanted to talk. And the woman looked at me and she said, "Is this quantum entanglement?" And I said, "Yes, I think so." Like the shift within her mother, she felt wherever she was and called her mother. And they resolve things and are doing well. So something in the mother's nervous system was in the way. And it went back to trauma from when she was 5. That is what I would call quantum.
And I love that. That's a great example of that. And it's interesting to, and the reason why I asked that question, because you know, you hear this word quite a bit, and it's almost hard to articulate spiritual terms in the language that we actually, we given to us. You know what I mean? Just that, for this woman to get a phone call from her daughter, and then try to get her to articulate that to someone else who doesn't understand the energy work that you're doing is very hard. It's like I speak another language, and sometimes trying to translate Spanish words to English and English words to Spanish is not that simple, and people get frustrated because they don't experience both languages. So when you experience this quantum adjustment, this shiftment, that this energy, this reset, then it really makes a lot of sense, because I'm sure when it hit her, she was like, "Well, is this it?" It's almost like it's kind of hard to articulate. when it's happening to you,
right,
then you really get it.
Well, and how I've always described it is I find words to be very limiting, and they are transactional, but they are necessary. And the brain does want some frame of reference. But the reason I use heartfulness and the reason I talk about unconditional love and embodiment is because that language is sensation and experience. You know, there's knowledge-based knowing, and then there's experience-based awareness. And that's where the quantum happens. That's because the conditioning isn't in that. And I could use the word magic too, or mystery, but it happens. And we can't always articulate it. And I'm involved with biofield science and subtle energy. And there's such a challenge in it because in science, there's no mechanism for the scientist to get into. And yet there's enough science to show the efficacy and that there's something happening. But since we don't know what it is, no quotes, we don't value it in the same way. So the thing about quantum physics that I appreciate is it is starting to give some language and some context to this, but we've got a ways to go.
Yeah, and so talk to me about what brought you to this work. Did something tragic happen in your life that sort of, you know, your energy level went in this direction? You're like, I needed this. Did something happen in your own energy field or something specific happened to you? So what brought you to this work?
Well, what's interesting, I came into the world deeply connected to Source or God, and I was a very devoted to my Catholic upbringing, which is what my first 18 years were, because I was in love with God, and I left the church at 18 when I went off to college because I realized it didn't fit for me, and I started to explore different religions, and then I realized religion really wasn't the best fit for me. And then at 21, I had to have back surgery. And the night before the surgery, I had a spontaneous mystical experience, which is the best way I can describe it. I have since learned that, you know, you can take psychedelics to make this happen, but I had no drugs. What happened was I was going to bed. I knew that the next day was going to be quite scary and uncertain. And there was a chance, you know, there were so many outcomes, like I might not wake up, I might be paralyzed. I mean, there were so many possibilities. That night as I was laying in bed, getting ready to go to sleep, I had this experience of, because of my spiritual life, I had this experience of what I call surrender or turning it over, where I literally with every ounce of my sense of being, surrendered and put myself in something greater than me, said, I may not wake up, I may be paralyzed, whatever. I completely let go. I am not in control. I am powerless. I am choosing to have the surgery, and I let go. And all of a sudden, I just went into this spontaneous mystical experience. I dissolved. I was in the oneness. I met this being of unconditional love. I was downloaded with all kinds of information. I woke up the next morning in joy, ecstatic joy. And I was flirting with the nurses. There's this really cute young nurse, male nurse I had. I was being really playful, and they were serious. Like, did you take drugs? I said, no. They're like, nobody goes into surgery like this. I went into surgery. The doctors were like, are you on drugs? Nobody comes into surgery like this. I was in so much joy. I came out of the surgery. I came out of the anesthesia. I was in so much joy. My recovery was really quick and miraculous, and my life changed forever. And I knew in that experience that I would be in service to this unconditional love that I experienced, which is what I've spent my life doing. I was going to go to law school. Instead, I went to graduate school because I needed to study human ecology, the social sciences, spirituality. I needed to find a context for my experience. It led me to yoga, meditation, and all kinds of modalities to really understand what I experience as being an energetic being in physical form, having a human experience. And then using those gifts and working with people and organizations and helping people move from their head to their hearts and really start to have this an experience of embodiment versus the conditioning of our ego or our intellect, which then led me to working with a lot of trauma.
So we talked about the power of words, and you said words can be limiting. Mm-hmm. How did you, or were you able to articulate what you had experienced, this spontaneous mystical experience and awakening? How were you able to articulate that, or did you articulate that to someone, or did you just start doing the work? And when I say doing the work, explain to us what you specifically did following this experience.
Yeah, no, I didn't tell anyone because I thought that they would think I was crazy. I should back up and say when I was young, I knew I was a little different and had some mystical abilities. And I had asked my mother when I was in seventh grade if I could see a psychiatrist because I was confused about these experiences I was having. And she said, no, what would people think? Because, you know, image is important. Now, actually, that was a gift because I don't think going to a psychiatrist and telling them what I was experiencing would have been helpful at that time. Maybe they would have put me on medication. I don't know. So I was kind of used to being different and having these experiences. So when this happened, I just kind of did a lot of praying. I read a lot of books. I started searching. I found a therapist afterwards. Who was amazing. She actually right away said, you have some special gifts. Like you said earlier, you know, that nothing happened, you know, everything happens for a reason. And somehow I found her, and she's probably what the touchstone that changed my life, because she believed in my gifts and she believed in the path I wanted to walk. And she supported me in doing that. And I only had 10 sessions with her. I mean, it wasn't long-term therapy. But then I went on after graduate school, and that's where I just dove in. You know, I tried Unity Church. I studied Course in Miracles. I was doing yoga and meditation and Hakomi. I don't even know if that's around anymore. And everything. I just was studying everything. What my husband would tell you, I'm addicted to learning, but I was studying everything to find context, but also it helped me in my own work, right? Like one of my first jobs as an integrative psychotherapist, we had live supervision, which meant behind a one-way mirror, my supervisor was watching me with a family. And this young family came in, a family of color, a single mom with three kids, and the 13-year-old boy was wetting the bed. And they didn't know what to do. And I looked at the mom, and I just knew this. I looked at the mom and I said, you know, you're doing a lot. You're raising these three kids. You're working. How are you managing your stress? She said, well, I come home. At the end of the day, I make dinner and I have a drink of alcohol, right? And I said, could you not? Could you, while we're working together, just not do that? Because I just knew. She wasn't alcoholic or anything. Mm-hmm. It was just her way of relaxing. And she said, yes. And the next time they came in, she hadn't drank and he stopped wetting the bed. And we met a few more times and he stopped wetting. And what we discovered was he felt like he had to be the man and she was, right? And so my supervisor said to me, how did you know that? And I said, I mean, where, how? And I said, I just knew. And a few other things happened. And then he sat me down. He said to me, look, you have to tell me how you do this. Like what? I'm like, I looked at him. I just said, it's my intuition. And he was like, I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah. Because, you know, we're talking about, you know, spirit versus
yes.
academia, yeah. books, research. And if it's not written down in a research and it's not a white paper, then it doesn't make any sense.
Right. And well, I just was like, I just knew. And this, it was miraculous. And this family only needed a few sessions and they went on and they were doing great. So, you know, I finally found some different teachers that I started studying with, all over. And I still continue. Like right now I'm working with horses. Mm. And I'm working to help heal them, their rescues, but they're healing me. Like, it's not one or the other.
Yeah, you and I have that in common. We both are like if somebody can pay me to stay in school without paying student loans, I would definitely do that as well. And so I know the bulk of your work is centered around trauma and helping people overcome some of the challenges. Can you, and I do a lot of the work in trauma-informed care. Actually, next week I'm going to be doing a session with a bunch of teachers. But can you define for our audience, what is trauma and how does it differ from post-traumatic stress disorder? And then what are some of the signs that someone is dealing with trauma or experiencing? How can they respond and react? How should they react to it?
Yeah. So that's a really good question. And how I would answer that, and you actually said it earlier, is I have a very broad definition of trauma. I think everyone has trauma, and adverse childhood experiences are ACEs, are huge. So we've got, I've worked with trauma such as rape or, loss, big one is like loss of, a child or, the whole domestic violence, everything. But really when it comes down to it, everybody I've worked with, and that's a lot after 35 years, ultimately there's trauma. There's some trauma. And what I've also found out, sometimes it's unprocessed, obviously, sometimes it's unconscious. And sometimes it's epigenetics and what I call intergenerational trauma. And I've seen this a lot with the women. Like, women have a lot, we've had 5,000 years at least of the patriarchy. And yes, there's trauma. And women, like brilliant, smart, powerful women, have trauma around being a woman and having to work through that. So just about, I really don't know that I've ever known anyone or worked with anyone that doesn't have some trauma. And that's why I'm about trauma, is because it's everywhere.
Yes, no, it is everywhere. And I'm sure you heard this fight or flight.
Yes.
When people are traumatized, I could not move or speak. It was almost if I was paralyzed. Could you explain to my listeners, what does that actually mean? This whole fight or flight, and I couldn't move or speak when something happened, and then because it might've been some triggers. Can you unpack that for us?
Well, I can a little bit. I mean, Stephen Levine's work is really good, somatic experiencing, but, and Bessel van der Kolk's The Body Keeps the Score. But I think that, well, first of all, I have to just back up and say there's fight, flight, or freeze.
Yes.
And so we've studied men mostly. So how men manage trauma and stress is they want to fight, they want to run, or they might freeze, as seen in the animal kingdom. And if there's something unresolved within us, or there's a threat that's not even real, but just perceived, we might have that reaction and respond in that way. And I'm not saying women don't, but what we've been learning and studying, and there's a great book called The Female Brain that talks about this, written by a neurologist or a neuroscientist, is that women don't necessarily respond in that way. They are more responsive in terms of tend and befriend. They know that to survive, they need a community and they need to be able to tend and befriend. So when they're stressed, they want support or they want to be supportive when other people are stressed. It's a little different. And because of that, women, when they're feeling threatened, again, whether it's real or imaginary, they want to push the threat out of the system. So that's where women, there's a diagnosis now in the DSM-5 called relational aggression. It's how women bully. They push you out by spreading rumors or speaking poorly of you or getting the community to align against you to get rid of you. So that's a whole nother way that stress and trauma are played out. Yeah.
Well, this is just showing up everywhere, and we all are feeling the effects of trauma with what's happening in the state of the world today, not only just in America. Maureen, I did an interview with a friend of mine in Malaysia, and just he shared a lot of the pain and trauma. One is looking what's happening in America, of course, COVID, the financial instability, the politics, and he was saying how his small, the country that he lives in, is really looking at America as an example of what we should do, what we should not be doing. Now, I know your work that you do at Shifted, pioneering field of embodiment. Can you talk about the work that you're doing, explain the concept of embodiment, and if someone would to approach you for services, what does a session with you and or your team actually look like?
Yeah, so I'm using the word embodiment because, again, words, we need a word, right? Mm-hmm. And I would say it's living below the neck. Mm. So it's really that process of understanding the brain and the intellect once is transactional, once words, has conditioning, beliefs, stories, using meditation and mindfulness to calm ourselves enough to realize we're reactive, we have unprocessed emotions, we have stories and beliefs, and being able to find a stiller place where we drop in below the neck. And when we're living below the neck, it's really about the embodiment pieces, first and foremost, taking care of ourselves, right? So that's one of the questions I encourage people to live in is, how are you taking care of yourself? How are you treating yourself? You know, what do you need? So it's all of that sleep, eating well, exercise, mental stimulation is important too, social connection, feeling our, you know, having the experience and the awareness of being in the body. I've met so many people that don't even know they have feet. Like, they really don't. So living below the neck. And then it's the other level of knowing that we are intrinsically whole. There's innate wisdom within us. We all have it if we're paying attention, if we're quiet enough. Our intuition, our deeper need for that feeling of connection and belonging that comes so much from our bodies. And then also the energetics of this. This is the biofield science and the subtle energy of what is our energy like? How is our energy impacting others? How are we being impacted energetically? You know, you stand there and you're talking to someone and their words are, you know, blah, 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 blah. But energetically, you can feel there is a disconnect. Like, mm-hmm. No, this does not match. Like, being aware of that so that you can know. And sometimes they'll say, you know, like, what you're saying isn't matching with your energy. Like, right? Let's get this in alignment. And so that's embodiment. And it's, you know, it's the movement. It's the somatic. So much of the trauma is held in our body. So how do we move through that? How do we... And there's all kinds of movement. I mean, there's so many good modalities out there that can help us. So when I work with people or organizations, I'm really helping, supporting, holding space for them. And most of the people I work with they're not newbies. They've done enough meditation or mindfulness where they're really looking for a deeper way of being. It's not just through the head or the transaction. It is through the heart and through the body and through the energy. So, you know, my husband always says, my wife calls mindfulness and meditation the gateway drugs. But they're the gateway drugs to embodiment, to a deeper way of being, to a deeper way of knowing and trusting and relating. And so working with people on how to really be in their bodies and be in the world in a different way and not be so... I mean, we are trained to control our bodies, right? Yes. And not be so attached to the body or needing to control it, but being softer and in relationship with it so that we're in the flow. We're in more of the feminine qualities of emerging, unfolding, receiving, allowing.
So what are some things you mentioned too, or you mentioned the flow. That's really the one word I want to park there, put the hazard lights on and pull the emergency brake up. What are some specific things that my listeners can do today to sort of get into the flow, bring their energy level up, and then start moving on a right, on I hate to say the right path, on a new path in the direction of wholeness? You gave a few things, but what are some specific things that my listeners can do tomorrow that doesn't cost a whole lot of money?
Right.
Well, I have to run out to get a gym membership. What are some things that they can do at home right now? Because many of us are quarantined. If we want to help them sort of shift their thinking.
Right. So you already do it and you already said it. So number one is breath. It's all about the breath. That's where I start. And I'm a teacher on Insight Timer, and I have a new course coming out, I think tomorrow, specifically around just the basics of breath and understanding we are unconscious breathers and how do we become more conscious. And breathing in through the nose is beneficial and into the belly and what different, right? All the, I think there's 6 or 7 different simple, easy breathing techniques that can start to help to shift your breath. So breath to me is everything. So, you know, tomorrow you can wake up and set the intention that you'll just do 5 minutes of deep belly breathing while you're taking your shower or making your coffee or, you know, whatever, so that you're just breathing. That is number one. And throughout the day, just taking a moment to check in on your breath. How am I breathing? Because we are more entrained to be upper chest breathers than belly breathers or diaphragmatic breathers. So changing our breath, I can't tell you, it is significant. And some people struggle with breath because of unprocessed trauma, or it's just hard, that, you know, for the body. And so I recommend, music can be very helpful. Marconi Union, a band out of the UK, created Weightless. You can get it on any streaming service. It was studied, and they specifically created it to reduce anxiety, and it was studied, and it reduced anxiety by 65%. And some of my clients have used this music, and they said over time their breath changes because the music is changing their physiology. So breath is everything. The other thing I recommend is as much as possible, even if it's just, you know, for 5 minutes, get outside and stand on the earth. Like, there's a new movie out called The Earthling. I think it's called The Earthling. No, sorry, I can't remember the name of it.
That sounds like it could be it, Bob.
Yeah, but it's a cute little film about how just standing barefoot on the earth really helps with our grounding and our electrical charge.
You can actually feel it. I love being barefoot. You can actually feel that energy going through the soles of your feet, coming all the way up to the crown of your head.
Yeah. Oh, it's called the earthing. The earthing. That's what it's called. So that's really important. The other thing is that I encourage people to do is what actually helps them, you know, like settle into their body. And like for me, it's being in a hot bath. For someone else, it's going for a run. For someone else, it's stretching. For someone else, it's just actually cooking. I find people cooking helps them become more grounded. So like finding your special little thing where it just allows you to get into the flow and settle in and not be thinking and not be, you know, planning or whatever.
Because our minds are all over the place. We're constantly thinking and going. So you mentioned bath, you mentioned going outside, you mentioned cooking. So we can't do any of those things, but what we can do, Maureen, can you take us through a breathing exercise?
All right,
let's share with our listeners.
Yeah, let's go. Okay, let's do the vagal nerve breath, because the vagal nerve is a big nerve starting, you know, in your brain going down into your gut. And it helps to activate the parasympathetic nervous system. So it's a pretty easy breath. You want to breathe in through your nose. Mm-hmm. You want to breathe out through your mouth with a whoosh sound. You want to either kind of close your eyes or soften your gaze. And if you can, smile, because all of those things activate the vagal nerve.
Yes.
And then you want to breathe deep into the belly. And then the most important thing, and we'll do this, but the most important thing is that the exhale has to be longer than the inhale. So if we're going to breathe in for 4 and out for 8.
All right, I am ready.
And, you know, sitting, being comfortable, relaxing is important too.
All right, listeners, get ready. Here we go.
Yeah, so just if you can soften your gaze or close your eyes, maybe put a soft smile on your face. And breathe in through your nose into your belly. We'll count to 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then out through your mouth with a whoosh sound. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In through the nose for 4. out through the mouth for eight. In through the nose for four. Out through the mouth for eight. In through the nose for four. Out through the mouth for eight. In through the nose. Out through the mouth. 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 It's also recommended when you're doing this breath, if you can, to think positive emotions or positive thoughts, like love or gratitude or joy.
Oof. Thank you.
And it's also fun to, because I'm all about play, to yes. try, you know, to try and increase that to 6 to 12 and then 8 to 16 and
well, I love it. I feel energized. You know, Soundbomb and community, you know, I would try whatever to help and support you, but not just you, but also for myself, because like you, I'm in a lot of places having a lot of conversations. Maureen, I can talk to you forever. You have opened my eye. Your husband told me that you were going to be amazing. And you just took me through an exercise. Quite often I've been, a lot of the listeners, a lot of the guests that we bring on, I say, take us through an exercise so our listeners can get a chance to see us do this, because now we're doing more video. Before it was just audio. So before we go to my favorite part of the show, are there any final statements or suggestions that you want to leave with our listeners? And one, before you wrap that part up, how can our listeners get in contact with you? And how are there any final statements that you would like to share with us?
Okay, our website is shiftit.com. I am on Insight Timer I have several embodiment practices, and then I will have courses. So you can check me out there. It's free. The embodiment practices are free, and they're short, simple practices. And then, you know, what I think I would like to tell listeners is that I want to remind everyone that ultimately we are all love. We are all the energy of love. It's not an action. I mean, we do caring things. Those are actions and kind things, but we are love. We are capable of being the energy of love. And how can we, this is the question, like how can we be in our bodies and in that vibration, in that energy of love, first and foremost for ourselves, and then sharing it, extending it out into the world. You know, just having that intention, just living in that question, it will reveal itself. It will unfold for all of us. And we need it now more than ever to be love in the world.
And we do. And I receive all the love that you shared with us. And I want to just thank your husband for just introducing us and sharing the world through his eyes and your eyes. And so I want to thank you for that. But before we get out of here, my favorite part of the show is called the Super Bomb Questions. And these are questions that my audience members tend to ask me that they want to know about the people that I bring onto the show. So Maureen, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. You got this down pat. What's your favorite word?
Love.
What's your favorite quote? It can be a Bible, scripture, verse, or it could just be a general quote.
Hmm. I don't know. I have so many quotes. There's a quote, something about, we can't, you know, compassion starts with the self, self-compassion. I can't remember the quote. Sorry.
No, I like, but I got it. And I'm sure my listeners would get it as well. What is your super animal? I mean, what is your spirit animal?
Oh, the Black Panther.
Wow. Black Panther. Yes. Black Panther. What is your superpower?
Oh, good question. My superpower, I would say, is my ability to hold space, be present, and really listen.
What moves you to tears of joy?
excuse me. My husband, like every day, he makes me laugh so hard.
What moves you to tears of sorrow?
Oh, how cruel people are. To themselves and each other.
I know, to themselves and to other people. Yeah. They don't realize that they're being cruel to themselves. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Wow, that's a really good question. I guess right now in my life, hang out with the horses.
I love horse. If I can afford a horse, I would ride every day. When I lived in Costa Rica, we lived in a community that had nothing but, it was one car in the whole community. And it wasn't, the car was not in the house that I was staying in, but we went by horseback every day. And I love that. What is the best or most worthwhile investment you've ever made? It could be anything, money, time, energy, et cetera.
And the best investment of my time, energy, and money is in myself.
Walk me through your morning routine.
Oh, so I wake up, and usually my little 9-pound dog wakes me up. The first thing I do is drink a big glass of water. I'm a big water person. And then I usually sit in meditation, maybe do movement, set intention for the day. Then usually check in with my husband, who's usually up before me, and his intention for the day, because we hold each other's intentions. Then I have coffee, one of my favorite things. And you know, intention for me is also prayer. It's kind of both. So I then move forward in my day in that prayer, and my days really vary. So.
Gotcha. Thank you. If you were in the Mrs. America talent competition, what would your talent be?
It would never be in Mrs. America. what would my talent be?
What would your talent be?
You know, I think it would be, this isn't going to be a favorite for many, but my talent would be that I, can I swear?
Yeah.
I would kick ass. And that's the word my husband used. Like, I don't put up with any bullshit. So he calls it my panther paw, but like, I would be like, no, that's my, it's like, no, that's my talent.
You're so funny. I had an artist on, Jody King, who I love. She is from Louisiana. She's a Cajun girl. That's how she described herself. And she said, can I curse? And it was so funny. It was so funny. She's like, I needed permission. So I just want to you know, I want to thank you, Maureen, for joining me. I mean, the information that you shared with me just opened my eyes. Thank you for walking me through an exercise. I told you all, Sound Bombing community, you need to check her out on all of her platforms. You need to check out Shift It Institute. They're doing some amazing things. Her and her husband and the team of other people are doing some great work. So Maureen, thanks for joining me today in the Bomb Shelter.
Thank you. It was so fun.
Thank you. And I also want to thank my engineer, Alec Blanc, my producer, Nicole Klimpaka, who I cannot do this without. Alex, thank you for making me sound so great. Supremacy for our theme music. And all of you for listening. Make sure you subscribe. leave a comment, stop being stingy, and share me with all of your friends, because we're on every platform. If you want to know more about me, if you want to pick up some of our merchandise, you want to know about where I'm going to be speaking, which is all virtual because I'm not going or receiving COVID from anybody. I love what I do, but I love my health even more. So if you want to know what I'm doing, go to drdrlds.com. And as always, believe something wonderful is about to happen, and that some people miss the message because they're too busy looking for the mess. Thanks for tuning in, and do something for someone other than yourself today. Take care of yourself. Stay healthy and strong. Keep fighting. Keep protesting. Keep doing loving things to one another, and keep tuning into Sound Bomb. Peace.